It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics! 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 Politics!
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. It is Friday, November 23rd, 2017, and welcome to Black Friday. For those of you still recovering from your turkey coma, welcome to reality. No one has allowed you to be disappointed. The news stories keep rolling in. And the ideas of America's consumerism, disregard for self, and pretty much putting a decent value in front of everybody in front of them has not led us to be disappointed. There's been shootings, there's been riots, there's been stampedes, there have been little kids getting beaten up with shoes, and of course there's been the people who've been camping out for hours on end in frigid temperatures just so they can get 20 cents off a dollar on, well, pretty much anything that the store offers. From Walmart to Best Buy, it seems like we're back to our old selves again. To hell with everybody else, and welcome to my world. I am your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show, the day after Thanksgiving. And for those of you listening, and I do appreciate you tuning in, you can catch us on Facebook at Radio Markowitz, Twitter at Radio Markowitz, GaultSpeaks.com is our homepage, where you'll find us on Podomatic as well as on iTunes. We are out there on the web sharing the ideas and thoughts. And just want to say thank you again for everybody. It is a very important day, if you ask me. For those of us who are actually got a brain in our heads, it's probably a lot simpler to sit back, use our computers, and shop from home. For those who really like the idea of consumer combat, today's the day to be in the stores, whether you'd like it to shop for food, because you're pretty much tired of turkey from last night, looking for a pizza or just about anything else, be careful. It is crazy out there. Before we get started today and before we unfurl what's on hold, I just wanted to remind everybody that there's a lot of people out there who are thankful for just being with their families. I've been involved with numerous events, numerous cases that have taken people from their families for long periods of time. And sometimes the simplest of things is what's important. There was a post on Facebook the other day asking what our favorite side dish was on Thanksgiving. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I like everything on the table. My favorite side dish happens to be around my friends and family. And when we have a whole lot of people, when my wife decides to host and we have a whole bunch of people at the home, that's what makes it important to me. That's what makes me feel good. When I can see a table full of friends and family, people that are important. Everything else comes eventually. Anyway, sit back, relax, enjoy. I'll be back right after this brief break. It turns out we do have to provide some avenues for our advertisers in order to be able to keep going. I'm your host, Warren Markowitz, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be right back.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Freedom comes with a price. responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
And welcome back. You know, a couple of days ago, I was listening to Sean Hannity and some of the other talking heads on Sirius XM Radio, and many of them had these comments about how to talk to your liberal relatives at the Thanksgiving table, how to avoid politics at the Thanksgiving table. And I thought about it, and I thought about it some more, and I realized that as staunch a conservative I am, and that, by the way, to me, is a libertarian with a limited government. So if anybody really wants to know where I sit when it comes to that, it's leave me alone and keep your hands out of my pockets. That's pretty much how I like to look at government. The least amount that I have to share with somebody who doesn't earn it or deserve it, the better off I am. So that's just for some clarification and perspective on things. But we had some conversations. For some odd reason, we got an issue of gun control with my brother's father-in-law. And he's just as staunch an individualist as everybody else, but he's got a unique perspective. He comes from Germany. He's been in the country, I don't know how many decades. But Klaus is an interesting individual. He really is. You like him, you don't like him. You like him, and at the same time, you don't like him. He wears his heart on his sleeves, which is, in my opinion, probably one of the better ways and easier ways to deal with people. But he made a very important point, especially with all the immediate calls for gun control that the left has been throwing out there based on, well, pretty much fear or the absolute idea of control. And one of the points that were brought up was that they don't want you to have a gun for the simple fact that you can tell them no. That's what it boils down to. Think about this. There was a statement made back, mid-19th century, when a concept of the bored-out barrel, the cylinder of a revolver was developed. And the idea was God created man, Colonel Colt made them equal. And the idea behind that was fairly simple. A firearm in your hands, whether you're trained or not, preferably trained, know how to use it, and training doesn't have to be formal, but a firearm in your hands is the great equalizer. You can tell somebody no, they could be upset with your words, they can go away. You can tell somebody no, they could be upset with your words, and they can start swinging at you, or start trying to take things from you, or use the force of government against you. But a firearm in your hands, when that happens, puts you on an equal footing. Anybody who tells you that a disorganized, ragtag group of people cannot affect the outcome of combat or a war or a government's decision has absolutely no frame of reference in history. Absolutely none whatsoever. The Vietnam War taught us one thing, if we were able to willing to pay attention, and was that a guerrilla war will defeat the most powerful army in the world. We didn't lose on the battlefield in Vietnam. Numbers will tell us we didn't lose on the battlefield. North Vietnamese, or the Vietnamese in general, lost over 1 million people. We lost, 58,000 dead because of the war? Tens, if not hundreds of thousands, others wounded and scarred because of the war. But we didn't lose on a battlefield. We lost in politics. We lost in the ability to continue to deal with this bloodletting, this war of attrition. And they did. The Vietnamese won because they needed to win. They wanted to win. They had to win. That says nothing bad about our military. It says nothing bad about their military or their organization, but it says something about the individual. And that should teach us something. Because being willing to do something, to go that extra mile, to make that sacrifice, believe it or not, is what made America who she is today. I have, in the past, always looked at the idea of Ho Chi Minh coming to Washington and asking for assistance to get rid of the French. and us laughing him out of Washington and sending him on his merry little way, is one of the biggest downfalls of American foreign policy. Because, first of all, the French have not really done very much for us since the Revolutionary War, and they really haven't won a war probably since Napoleon was around. So helping them keep their colonies and shedding our blood and our wealth and our knowledge on helping them was an effective waste of time, money, and blood. But anyway, getting back to the concept. Gun control isn't about using two hands, which is a favorite line of mine. It's not about watching your target and knowing what's behind it. Those are all safety issues. Those are all things that a smart gun owner knows. Gun control is about taking the ability to say no away from you, to make you a serf or a slave or a subject, not a citizen, not someone who is on an equal footing. You see, the term may be bantered around, that of a sovereign citizen. We're not talking about those who decide to pick and choose what rules they want to follow and what rules they want to ignore. We're talking about the concept that the federal government grew out of the states. The states grew out of the agreements of the individuals. So when we talk about the bureaucrats being servants of the people, we actually mean it. That's why the House of Representatives is called the People's House. We send our representatives there to control our government. But when you got people who are just willing to shout you down, to cover their faces, to fight you tooth and nail because you're a fascist, because you don't agree with them. You're a fascist because how dare you decide to keep what you earn? You're a fascist because you don't want to give away your labor for the benefit of somebody else. Ask yourself this question. What right do they have to it? This isn't an issue of, oh, it's a Christian thing to do, of being your brother's keeper. Yes, you are your brother's keeper if you make your life better, because making your life better will eventually impact everybody else's around you. You see, Thanksgiving is being ignored, is being undermined, it's being taken apart. The new thing now is Indigenous Peoples Day, or to eliminate the idea of the celebration of Christopher Columbus, or the idea of Thanksgiving, there's nothing to be thankful for. That's a crock. There's plenty to be thankful for. It is Ayn Rand stated that Thanksgiving is a producer's holiday. That means the stuff on the table in front of you is there because you put it there. Not because you shared it with somebody else, but you put it there. If you choose to share it with somebody else, those are your guests in your home. Those are your friends and family at your table. Those are strangers that you may invite in because you choose to do it. Not because your government or some bureaucrat, somebody else tells you to do it. Not because there's a discount on a sale the next hour and you're going to, you know, you're hoping that somebody in the sky is going to give you the ability to get to this discount first because you shared dinner with somebody you didn't know, or you shared dinner in general. One of the things that I enjoy the most about the holidays is sharing them. It's because I can, not because I have to. Because we choose to and we can. To me, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate Thanksgiving and the people around the table. It's a simple concept. It's a simple idea. Chew on it for a few minutes. Give me a break. Let me take a deep breath here. I'll be right back, okay? I'm Warren Markowitz. Thanks for joining me today on Black Friday.
Separating the matter from the chatter. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
On Spreaker, Automatic, and Red State Radio.
Okay, back to where we were. Colin Kaepernick is back in the news again. He was on Alcatraz Island celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, some sort of resistance, revolutionary comments, or whatnot. Ask yourself one question. Do you really give a shit? Do you actually care what Colin Kaepernick is doing? Do you care at this point in time? Have you grown tired of the NFL stars or players kneeling during the national anthem? Have you come to the conclusion that you know you're there to play a game, get off your ass, stand on your feet, do what your boss tells you to do, and go on your merry little way? It's those things that kind of trouble me. That we're giving these guys some sort of, I don't know, stage, performance, ability to voice their opinions. Be perfectly honest with you, I could care less what anybody in the NFL has to say. I could care less what anybody in Major League Baseball has to say. I could care less. You just pick a sport or an organization, and I could care less what they have to say politically. I'm not interested in it. I don't care if you're an absolute freaking communist. But if you're out there playing the sport, hired by somebody to just play the sport, then you play the sport. It's not your opportunity to share your politics. The end result is, of course, capitalism's a bitch. When you start pissing off your customers, your revenue starts to drop. Look at the stadiums. Look at how many people are not coming to the games. People aren't buying the tickets. The tickets are being, first of all, they're being priced at a range where it's almost ridiculously impossible to actually to afford to go. My wife just the other day was looking to buy tickets for a football game where the Giants were playing the Oakland Raiders. The tickets alone were going to start costing us at the bottom $500 for the family to go. Then add in all the other fun stuff that goes along with the fact that it costs you $200 or $300 just to eat while at the stadium, plus your parking, plus your gas, plus the time in traffic. And the end result is you sit at home and watch the game from the house, if at all. Because I'll tell you something, if the Giants or the Jets or anybody else is going to kneel, I'm not going. I'm not there for politics. I'm not interested in their politics. You listen to the show because you're interested in what I have to say relating to politics. If you weren't, you'd be listening to CNN, the Clinton or Communist News Network, depending upon how you want to look at it. But enough of that. Black Friday. We're back to the idea of consumerism, where a discount is more valuable than the person next to you. In some instances, I can't disagree. I've met some people who aren't worth the price of a discount. But why is it, okay, why is it that we sit back and we expect to get bargains for a 30-day window and nothing else? What can it be that, how do I put it, what's so special about November 22nd or 23rd to December 24th? Why is it that retailers have to price themselves out of the markets for 11 months out of the year, hoping to make their year in 30 days? If they can do this in 30 days, why can't we enjoy these profits and why can't we enjoy these prices throughout the year? Well, the long and short of it is it's their business. They run it their way. But I wonder these things. I mean, it's like, why would I have to buy it now? Do I absolutely positively need something? Otherwise, I don't bother. And probably you don't either. Anyway, so we have a bunch of stuff in front of us. We've been talking about DACA over the last couple of weeks. I mean, the year is rolling down. Taxes are on. Listen, the issue of taxes have come up several times because the House passed a tax reform bill. And one of the major issues is SALT, state and local taxes. And they're freaking out of the high tax states that individuals can't deduct or won't be able to deduct their state and local taxes from their federal tax burden. I think that's the greatest. I really do. I wouldn't appreciate the fact of not being able to deduct my mortgage interest, because I think my mortgage interest being a debt that I pay to buy a home and to maintain my home, I think maintenance of and ownership of a home in a community goes a lot further than the spending of state and local taxes. I'll tell you why. Look at a housing project where nobody owns the building except for the government or some third party that contracts with the government. Look at the conduct in those places. Look at the condition of those places. Tell me who maintains those places and tell me how safe those places are. When you recognize that a housing project or a Section 8 apartment building, or most, I'm not going to say most apartments in general, but most of the mid-lower to lower end in terms of economic structure, apartments are not the best places to raise a family because nobody cares. No one gives a damn. Now, on the other hand, walk into a middle-class suburban neighborhood where 95% of the homes are owned by the people who occupy them and tell me what they look like. Some people maintain their homes better than others. Some people decorate their homes better than others. But it's their home. It's their place. It's their risks. It's their money. It's their capital. It's their time. It's their effort. That's somebody else's. They don't come in to tell you that somebody else said X, Y, and Z. So to me, not being able to deduct the interest that I pay to purchase that home, to advance the rights of the environment and the community itself, I should say, that would impact me more. But state and local taxes, isn't it time the state and local jurisdictions and governments woke up of the impact that the taxes are having on their own people? Isn't it time that places like Suffolk County, Nassau County, Orange County, places in New York, Connecticut, California, woke up to how much money they were draining from the system and what little people are getting back for it? I'm getting tired of hearing, well, it's for the property taxes are for the schools. They may be for the schools, but what are we getting out of it? We are producing communists and socialists out of our schools because we are teaching kids that the things that made their life great are a violation of, well, everything. We're teaching that in order for one to succeed, one has to be abused, when we know that's not the truth. And they know that's not the truth. So how much value are we actually getting out of our state and local taxes? I mean, all kidding aside, if you've got a 35% tax burden on a federal and a 16% tax burden on a state, and you still have to pay that additional six, that you still have to include the income that you paid your state and local taxes on. Here's how it works. My understanding is this. If I've got a $1,500 tax burden to, we'll say, state X, on my income tax return, I get to deduct that $1,500 from my federal taxes. And then the difference goes to the feds. Well, now, or I should say, if this passes, that's not going to happen. So I pay $1,500 to the state, and if my income tax comes out where I owe, let's say, $5,000 to the feds, I don't get to deduct $1,500 because I paid it to somebody else. So now I'm paying $6,500. Yeah, my taxes went up, but it didn't go up because the feds made it go up. It went up because the state is now taking it. Now I notice it. And we talk about accounting irregularities, and we talk about accounting tricks, and we talk about how creative accounting can improve this, that, or the next thing. Well, now we get to see it. Now we're going to feel it. What's going to happen in places like Nassau or Suffolk County or New York City or Connecticut or New Jersey or most of the Northeast that's been able to hide the local expenditures because it really didn't feel it because it never really paid it to somebody else, but now you get to pay it? Are we going to have the tax revolt we've been dying for these decades? I'll tell you the honest truth. When I was in New York before we moved, our home taxes, our taxes on our house, a 30-something year, almost a 40-year-old home at the time, was $8,000 a year. That is roughly $700 per month for the privilege of living in your home. Nevada, similar home, less than $3,000 a year. So $250 a month from $700 a month. Who's better off using that money, me or them? No substantial change in home style. No substantial change in type of neighborhood. But that's where we are. Reality is going to set in. I'm going to have a massive problem. And the next massive problem we're going to be facing is, of course, the issue of DACA. It's all over the news again today. Maybe somebody's trying to pull the harp strings or the heart strings and say, DACA, you got to make room for these 3-point-something million illegals that came here. They deserve to stay. Well, the question is, do they? Do the parents deserve to stay? Do their siblings deserve to stay? Does the chain migration that we're going to get after this, does it benefit us? And this isn't a white or a black thing, by the way. This isn't a brown or a yellow thing. This isn't about skin color. This is about reality. What have they done? Why should somebody who violates the law be rewarded with the benefits and protections of the law? What law can you violate that will be ignored? Short of a parking ticket that might get waived because the jurisdiction wants to give you a discount so they can collect their fees. Pick a law that can be ignored that you can get away with for decades while continue to violate it. What part of illegal are these people missing? They're not as individuals illegal. They're not as people illegal. That's what they want to make us say. They want to hear that we're saying that their people are illegal and nobody's illegal. No human is illegal. And no human is illegal. We haven't gotten to that issue of Gattaca yet, where you have faith-born and genetically conscripted or designed. We're not at the point of Starship Troopers where you need a permit to have a baby. Even though I'm probably sure in some countries they have restrictions like that. Or at least the concept of restrictions like that. So now we're not arguing about individuals being illegal. We're talking about the fact that somebody is where they are when they shouldn't be. And if you want to talk about the 500-pound gorilla in a room, yeah. 58%, I think, was the last study that was done that provided that people from Latin America or south of the U.S. border, so from Central and South America, over 58% of the people that are in the United States illegally, as in no longer with permission or never had permission when they entered, are from that part of the world. So what? Seriously, so what? We're not pointing a finger at them in particular. What most people have forgotten is that the law is supposed to apply to all of us equally. That's why these social justice warriors, these SJWs, decide that just because you're white and straight and a male, you have less validity in your statements than somebody who's black or transgendered or Asian or queer or whatnot, because you're not part of those groups that have been oppressed or denied rights or whatever else bullshit they want to come up with. 3.3 million people. There was I don't know if it was Olivia Wilde or one of the actresses. I read it this morning. Asked for Ivanka Trump to lobby her father for a amnesty for these 3.3 million DACA recipients. Well, I'll tell you this right now. I don't want a blanket amnesty. And the reason why I don't want an amnesty for any of them or any of the people that are here illegally, and illegally means without permission or overstayed, is that why are we granting citizenship? Why are we giving a brass ring to the people who did not deserve it, who do not deserve it, who didn't work for it, who didn't contribute to it? Now, Trump gave 6 months and this was almost 3 months ago. So somewhere along the lines of March, DACA becomes a fishing expedition for anybody who's here. So Congress better get off his tush and do something about it. What about this? Okay, what about this? What about those people contributing? And I don't mean under the program that was deemed illegal even by President Obama when he issued it. I'm talking about, what about those people who are able to establish that they've had a business or have a business, operating a small business? Okay? What about those of them who are now either coming out of college or in college, joining the military for 4 years? What about contributing back, giving more than you expect, making up for it? No, I don't expect to hold responsible children, and I'm not talking about 26-year-olds, because to me, if you're above the age of 20, you're not a kid anymore. Grow up and smell the roses. But I'm talking about children that were brought here by their parents. You know, American jurisprudence generally doesn't hold responsible persons that generally do not hold responsible third parties who are victims of a criminal act. But we also don't give them benefits of ignoring the laws that applies to them either. So since we've ignored this whole situation, and we have continued to ignore the whole situation, we're now sitting on a bunch of several million people that may or may not have ties to the United States through siblings who were born here, may or may not have ties to the United States through relatives that were here legally, or have green cards or are citizens or whatnot. And now we have to deal with them. We have to make hard decisions, but we make hard decisions every day in the judiciary. Hard decisions are made every day when we turn around and tell people you're going to jail. We break up families every day when somebody's convicted of a crime. They go to jail. And if you're convicted of a crime that's really, really bad, and you wind up doing 15, 20, 25, 30 years or life in prison, you might as well be dead. Tell me how that doesn't break up a family. Tell me how deporting a person who has no permission to be here, where the law says if you are not here with this permission, you have to leave, and we pick you up and we say, okay, there's the door. How is that not proper? Because what? They have kids in college. They have a husband who's a citizen, but they're not. They've ignored the rules. Folks, here's the thing. Without running in consistent circles, this is not an issue of it's right because they fit a certain group. Either the rules apply or the rules don't apply. Either there is justice or there is no justice. Either there is law and order or there is no law and order. We're not talking about the drafting of Nuremberg laws in the 1930s and stripping people of citizenship that they've had because they had it beforehand. We're talking about dealing with issues, especially around this time of year. People get all heartstrings and all worried, and, oh, you can't do it. It's Christmas. You can't do it. It's New Year's. You can't do it. It's Hanukkah. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Is this really necessary? It's Thanksgiving. Is this appropriate? That's not the way the world works. That is not the way the world works. Either there's justice and the rules apply, or there's anarchy. And I, for one, am not willing to live in a society in which anarchy rules, in which I have to figure out what subgroup I fit into before justice will apply to me. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, as a white straight male, I'm pretty much on the outside. I'm not a woman. I'm not a religious man. I mean, I'm not a woman. I'm not transgendered. I'm not queer. I'm not. It doesn't work that way. Jordan Peterson, a professor from Ontario, has been getting a lot of heat recently about being forced to use pronouns that he doesn't want to use because the government says he has to use them is being ignored for the simple fact that when somebody changes the language, they change the field. The idea changes. The concepts change. The way we deal with things change. You know what? And I need a breather. I'll be back in a few minutes. I want to bring you up to speed on something else. Sit tight.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-3017 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-3017. Again, that's 800-711-3017.
The Warren Markowitz Show on Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Hey, thank you very much for sticking with me. All right. Talking about justice, social justice ideas, the language issue that Peterson was dealing with in Canada. And, well, since we always look to Canada to see how well their healthcare system works and how well the fact that 30 million people can deal with it, why can't 330 million people? It doesn't really make that much difference. It doesn't matter, except when you look at the concepts and how this actually works itself out. Peterson's biggest gripe, and when it comes to whether he uses zer or z's or they or them, as opposed to he or her or she or it, has to do with the fact that it changes the conversation. And if you think about it, it does. When you're limited to words, when you're limited to what you can say, when words become inappropriate to say, then the conversation changes. Turn on a rap song, any gangsta rap songs. The word nigga is used as a pronoun, as an adjective, as a descriptor. It's used. But if you're white, you can't use that word. It's racist. So why is it racist for one group but not racist for another group? Aren't you, if you're using that term, aren't you using it the same way? Aren't you referring to somebody by their skin color, by their economic status, by their structure in society? I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't consider, I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to deny the fact that I think I called former President Obama at one point or another the HNIC. But if you think about it, that in of itself is not an appropriate descriptor of a president, and I do apologize for that, but you don't call a well-to-do, well-educated, a civilized individual a nigger. It's just wrong. But if it's wrong for whites to do it, why isn't it wrong for blacks to do it? The concept, it comes to mind because I was approached not too long ago by an attorney that got himself into a little bit of mischief. He made a statement that a judge who was sitting on a case was either biased against him or anti-Semitic. Now, he didn't understand something. Anti-Semitism is a behavior. You behave in an anti-Semitic way. He didn't refer to the judge as being anti-Semitic. He said the behavior was anti-Semitic and therefore shouldn't have been his judge for that particular case. 3 years later, he finds himself suspended for 6 months. And for those of you who are curious, yeah, I am taking on the mantle and filing a writ with the Supreme Court. But the point is the same, whether it's black or white, whether it's Jewish or non-Jewish, whether it's Muslim or not Muslim, whether you're considered an Islamophobe. Are you an Islamophobe because you don't like people who are Muslims? Or are you an Islamophobe because you don't like people who try to blow you up? Think about it. You can have your Islamic friends. When I was in college in the 80s, there were three Jews, a Catholic, and a Muslim in the same house. Does anybody want to determine where the problems came from, if any? What kind of mischief we had? There was none. College mischief. Two Jews, a Muslim, and a Christian. It almost sounds like a joke that writes itself. But there were four of us in this house. There were no problems. There were problems with four college guys sitting living in a house and getting into mischief with each other. But that was it. Prodding and poking and, everything from pouring vegetable oil on somebody when they're in the shower to stealing their work the day before it's due. Shit like that. But other than that, there was no problems with people because we respected each other. We respected each other because we were raised to respect each other. We were taught that if we wanted to be respected, we had to respect others. We had to hold ourselves out as we were supposed to be held out to society. And today's world ignores that. Today's world comes with the concept of privilege. That's why this idea of white privilege is all over the place. You don't understand your privilege. I'll tell you what my privilege is. My privilege is I get to work 40 to 60 hours a week. My privilege is my wife gets to work 40 to 60 hours a week, even though as a teacher, they say you only work from X hour to Y hour, but they've never looked behind the curtain to see how many hours those people actually put in to deal with our kids and our students. I have the privilege of paying for somebody else. I have the privilege of working to pay for somebody else. But I don't have the privilege of saying if you're too freaking lazy to pay for your own bills and to put food on your own table or heat in your own house or home, you should starve to death or freeze to death because that would be racist. It is the undermining of society. It is the undermining of the family unit in society. The replacement of the family unit with government. The individual responsibility with someone else will take care of the problem. That is leading to the downfall of American society. Because remember something, America is a concept. I mean, we are a construct. We have a defined border, theoretically, because some of us want the borders open, and some of us realize that by doing that, all we're doing is inviting the Visigoths in, and the crumbling of the Roman Empire will happen all over again. But we've got our language, which is English. Whether you like it or not, English is the American language. Our documents are not written in French. They're not written in Spanish. Our founders were not Portuguese. Our founders were not Chinese. They weren't from Japan or from other parts of Asia. They were English. They spoke English. The colonies spoke English. As a matter of fact, the colonies all but one, until the Dutch were tossed out, spoke English. Now they all speak English. There's only one part of this country, if you think about it, that effectively has an unofficial second language. That would be Louisiana. From the Louisiana Purchase, it was run by the French. It is the only, Louisiana, by the way, is the only state in the Union whose judicial system or laws themselves in general are under a codified system similar to the Napoleonic era as opposed to the common law traditions from the English. So we do incorporate outside interests into our own. But we have our borders. We have our language. We have a culture. Freedom for all. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and oh, wait, it wasn't it. I was watching a, let's see, I was watching a TV show, and a well-dressed professional black man was talking to another white guy, and said, yes, we, oh, it was, what was it, Designated Survivor. And one gentleman there was saying to the other one, and said, yeah, at one point, I was only 3/5 of a person, referring to the fact that the Constitution considered slaves as for 3/5 of a 3/5 of the number of slaves in the counting of the number of people in that state for representation in the House of Representatives. I challenge you that they weren't considered 3/5 of a person. The reality of the situation was they were considered property. And they counted the property for 3/5 of an individual. A free man is still a free man. And people don't want to recognize the fact that the Constitution itself is colorblind. It said all men are created equal. It didn't say all white men. It didn't say all black men. And I like to interpret it as all men are created equal, as in mankind, not as in just men. Racism is not inherent in the United States. Racism is taught in the United States. Racism is taught because people are afraid of the person next to them being different. People are the issue in today's problems. Groups like Antifa are all deciding the world revolves around sacrifice. And the world revolves around identity politics. And you can't treat me less because I am a woman and I am gay and I am bisexual and I am whatever. You know, it becomes absurd when they try to figure out how many boxes they could tick off to identify what subgroups they belong to. Because when push comes to shove, when we sit down at our table at Thanksgiving and we look at our families and our friends, what do we see? Do we see a lesbian? Do we see a black man? Do we see a lesbian black man? Do we see women, children, family, friends? Do we see white, black, yellow, red? What do we see? You see people that look like you, people that sound like you, people that work with you, people that are friendly to you. But in the end, you see people. I made a joke that a couple of weeks back, I went to New York for a family wedding. And I got stuck at the cousin's table again. My brother, who didn't go, turned around and said to me, "Schmuck, you're a cousin. Where else would you go?" And I sat there and I realized, no matter what you do, no matter how you are, no matter where you are what you are. I was with my cousins. Where else would I be? But with my cousins. My mother was with her brother and his wife and my aunt and her sister and so forth. You're with the people that mean the most to you. Thanksgiving was important to me this year for several factions. Thanksgiving was important because, A, I don't do Black Friday shopping. I don't go out right after dinner to stand on lines till all hours in the morning just to get a discount on something. It's not that important to me. Even though my father told me at one point if I didn't pull my head out of my ass, I'd probably be the most wealthiest person in the cemetery because I used to put it before everything else. But in general, Thanksgiving was important because I was with my family. My brother cooked this year, which was nice. But the kids were together, the families were together, my mother was there. My wife was there. My children were there. Everybody was there that mattered to me who was able to be there. Those that were in other parts of the country that couldn't join us, you were there because I wanted you to be there. You were in my heart. So when we sit back and realize that the world has taken a complete turn for the insane. Look at the people you surround yourself with. Look at the families and friends. It doesn't make a difference whether or not they are liberal or conservative. It doesn't make a difference whether or not they are. They fit themselves into some small subgroup. Reality will take hold. It really will. The liberals and the ultra-liberals and the communists, they will not take a hold of this country, regardless of how many claim to be here. You know, the old joke is there's 100 million guns. Or I should say there's 100 million people that own 300 million firearms in this country. That means there's one gun for every man, woman, and child in civilian possession. There's a trillion rounds of ammunition in civilian hands. If we were the problem, you'd notice it. But we're not. We're usually going to be the ones that solve the problems. The communists and the socialists, those who think that capitalism is the problem, will look at places like Venezuela that have fallen and failed and realize that eventually they'll realize that empires like the Soviet Union collapsed because there was no way for them to continue. They'll realize that places like China that have changed their tune, that have blended their political and their economic societies together, have changed their tune. China is neither a pure communist nor a pure socialist idea. Do I consider them right, wrong, or indifferent? No. I consider China to be China. And I consider America to be America. America, if we become the melting pot we were before, America's greatness will shine again. When we take our ideas and our concepts, we take our friends and our family, when we build what's important to us, when we ignore the consumerism, and we stop putting the inconsequential in front of us, when we recognize that justice is not based on social justice or social anything, when justice is justice, when equality before the law is the important part. And yes, I hate to say this. Some people are more equal than others. Some people can afford better lawyers. Some people can afford better investigators. Some people can afford the better things in life. But why drag the top down? Because the bottom will never be pulled up. If the bottom doesn't pull themselves out of the muck and the mire, if the bottom doesn't work to make their own lives better, not making other people's lives worse, they will never be better. I saw the lines in the Soviet Union. I saw the waiting for shoes and the waiting for bread. I saw the dreary colors and the lack of life and the lack of enjoyment, because people struggled every day just for the basics. America's abundance is our people and our goals to be better tomorrow than they are today. So here's what I want to leave you with today. I'm sorry if this was a little bit of a downer, but hey, what can I tell you? America on Thanksgiving is truly a thankful place to be. When you look at your table and you look at the foods on the table, it's because you put them there. You took the time. You took the effort. You expended the resources. You're enjoying the things and you're enjoying the products and fruits of your labor. If you didn't work for it, it wouldn't be there. And if you were invited to somebody else's home, keep in mind something. They put that there because they could. Not because somebody told them to. Not because somebody asked them to. Because they could. And they chose to. America, I should say, Thanksgiving is truly a recognition of America's prowess and strength. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you spending it with me. Good luck, God bless, and remember, the holidays are around the corner. Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah. Spend them with the people that matter. Don't waste your time on others. It just doesn't help. I'm Warren Markwitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markwitz Show. I'll catch you next week. Be good.
The Warren Markowitz Show. Politically incorrect speech for politically correct time. The Warren Markowitz Show. On Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.